Have approval of minutes of April's or August 6th, please. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries. Building and grounds. Good morning, sir.
Morning, everyone.
Dad, is your father doing well?
He was. He took a little turn, came home, and spiked up an infection. So we're dealing with that right now in Rochester, but they're doing real good back right. Over there. So
wish him the best.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. First item, we'd like to make an award on a storefront replacement on the main entrance coming out of the courtyard that the employees currently use. We recommend awarding to the lowest bidder, Moran's Glass Inc., in the amount of $26,300. So these doors are original with the building. The salt and time have about beat them to death with the aluminum. They get used quite a bit, obviously, by employees. So that's that piece. This also will replace the emergency exit door for those that are familiar with where the coffee cart is. That's got decay and rot as well. That door has seen better days as well. Unfortunately, we have to keep stuff salted pretty good. We use a product that's safer than salt, as they say, but it still puts its wear and tear on these types of metals. So those two will be replaced. We use these folks in the past, Moran's. We used them for the county clerk's building, and that went through a similar issue. Did a wonderful job. The next bid higher was $31,800 from Frontier Glass. So again, we're recommending Moran's Glass for the amount of $26,300.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
So next item along with that, we're requesting authorization to spend out of capital project line, window replacement capital project. So we request to spend $26,300 out of that capital project for these two storefront door windows. I'll need your approval on.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
That's all I have. Just a couple quick updates. JJ and his group team done a wonderful job. There's two shops that we store plow trucks. Weights and Measures store their vehicles and trucks in as well. In-house, we've been able to replace one of the major roof systems, steel roof. So we should get another 25, 30 years out of that. There's another one that stores two other plow trucks. That's crucial storage garage as well. That's getting replaced next. And as you see out here, there's some masonry work going on this wall. Finally, they've re-tuck pointed, grind, and treated this wall. We're in the process of approving coating now for the caps. So it all looks uniform, and we're going to try to match it, obviously, as close to what it was originally, which is similar to the accent markings and colors on the existing building. So that should be done hopefully here before winter as well. But that's all I have for you folks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, sir.
Marie. Good morning.
Good morning. All right. So, I don't have my glasses, so this should be fun. Are they? You know, I couldn't quite find exactly ones to match. So, I know y'all know that's true. All right. So the first thing is the RFP for the Steuben County Transportation System. We did get one proposal from TransDev, of course. Their local share did go up significantly, but they did seem to, the other grants and pass-through that we get from state and federal funds were kind of off. So I reviewed it with Chris and Jack in depth, along with Chris and I did have a call with NYSDOT to make sure that the monies that we'll be getting for operating assistance and the federal 5311 rural transit are going up. And so my request is to authorize or award the RFP for Steuben County Transportation System to First Transit.
Second.
Yeah.
Originally, their local share was like 24,233, somewhere around there. It has gone up to the local subsidy required because Trans or First Transit claims that they are operating at a loss to $105,856. And
And
here comes.
what's the total cost, Maria? I'm trying to bring it up
But the
to.
offset is 5311 funds. Our total county share is going from like 24,000 to 36,000 after the increased grant fund. So,
Yeah, we act as more of a pass through.
correct.
And we've always budgeted 50,000 just to hold. Like Chris said, it's normally been around 25 ish. So it will go up a little, but it's still within our local budget. But it really is, we act as the conduit of the pass through of the 5311. What's the total contract amount?
Year one, 25 to 26 would be five, just under $561,000.
So that is increased a little, but again, that's wholly dependent upon the increase in the federal funding.
Kelly.
Is that for the same level of service that they're currently providing?
Yes.
And this has nothing to do with the seats program in Corning.
No, and I was planning on bringing that to admin next week under us in finance because it's a budget request. They are experiencing the same thing, except they do not, to my knowledge, have additional 5311 federal funding to leverage to offset that cost like we do, which
Because
means it's going to, what's that?
5311 is rural.
Oh, rural. I'm sorry. Then additional federal funding to be able to offset. So to keep the same amount of stops that they have and the same schedule, it would result in a six-figure increase of the local share. So we have received and bring it to you next week a discussion on the request of the localities in the seats area to help.
If you have any narrative on that you could send us ahead of time
Yeah.
to read about,
Yep. Will do.
it would be helpful.
Sure thing.
We had a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
Not like we have a lot of choices.
No, unfortunately. And, you know, I think we've talked about it at your strategic planning retreat. The transportation in general is something that we are looking at and having conversations. I think we mentioned with Southern Tier Central and City of Corning and others, just because it is, there's essentially one provider. And coordinating the disparate systems is becoming much more complex for each individual participant. And are we maximizing where bus routes are? Are we maximizing stops? You know, it's a longer conversation, I would say. The good news is it does look like the, and I think we talked about it, that New York State Department of Transportation, at the request, it was really the City of Corning that led the request, is going to, and it's somewhere in state law where every, I don't know how many years, the New York State Department of Transportation funds studies to look specifically at this, like, you know, are the bus routes still ideal? All right, like, look at it kind of soup to nuts. It looks like that study is going to be funded. Don't have official word yet, but if that happens, to me, that's kind of the determining factor, because we're going to get a lot more data and a lot more information. But there's going to have to be naturally some evolution in this program, just because we're all kind of managing different pieces and the costs are going up, and the providers, we went from having a few options of providers to one. And they're a good partner, but don't have a lot of options.
And we are scheduled to be phase two of that study, which could be end of this year, more likely beginning of next year. And it'll probably take about a year then to get all the results. Chris and I talked to NYSDOT, really tried to pin them down on that. It will be a more comprehensive study, which is good. Something, since it is on a larger scale, that we wouldn't be able to do on our own without putting a lot more funding towards it. So that is the good thing about it, that they're going to do it and say what's best for the area. We will be looking at purchasing new buses after we get this contract done. And I think we are going to probably move towards the smaller buses. We're right on that edge of the smaller cutaway buses that we have. And there's not really much in between that until you get to like a 12, 15 passenger van. And then that's really not enough. So there's not that midsize of the bus, I would say, that we need. So we'll be working with them. I almost feel that some of this might be first or Transdev motivated. Chris, Jack, do you agree? Because it's coming from like more of a corporate standpoint too.
I think they're struggling like others. Their costs are going up. Hiring bus drivers and retaining bus drivers has been a challenge. So I think it's all the way around. You know,
insurance, retaining them. That was one of the items that they said that they're really fighting with. Union costs, insurance, and increase in fuel costs too.
It's, I mean, CMOG in Corning stopped the bus routes because of some of the things we just talked about.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for somebody who, I don't know where they came from, but they donated a lot of money to keep CMOG buses running for like 3 years.
Mm.
We could find out who that was.
Yeah, that'd be
a bigger benefit.
That'd be nice. Yeah, I think we talked about it, and you see it in your preschool special education program, that transportation is just, there's not a lot of providers. And we talked about, you know, schools, the cost and the wages that they have to pay bus drivers nowadays to keep them it's a challenge.
Yeah.
So much more to come, but this keeps to the chair's point, this keeps the current system operational.
Exactly. And then snowmobile trail grant phase two, that is going in this week. Everybody was pretty receptive on getting all their information in from the trail maintenance entities. As usual, New York State kind of changed up a couple things, so had to do a little chasing to get that. But hopefully this year we'll get a lot more snow so they can actually use it. So that's pretty much Hilda.
So Hilda. Kent County went to this ATV park or UTV park in Andover and
Tall Pines.
What is it?
Tall Pines.
Yes. And I mean, it's huge, huge. They have like 30,000 people come there. And it's only during the time of the weather that's good. Can those snowmobile trails do transfer? You know, if there's no snow, are they able to use some of those kinds of vehicles?
I don't think so. I know living in Wyoming County, there are your ATV, UTV groups that are trying to get more trails. Now, Wisconsin, through the DNR, which is your equivalent of the DEC here, the cost for registering your ATV or UTV goes towards maintaining the trails, and they have over 40,000 miles in trails, and they do use the dual use like that. So I think, but that was when I first moved here too. So 15 years ago, these groups have been using, you know, trying to get more of the dual use, but it doesn't seem like it's going to really happen yet.
And this grant is, again, one that we passed through no local share.
There
four or five groups, something like that, that are approved?
We have four.
Four. So it's, they submit to Marie. Marie submits to the state, and we act as the pass-through.
Yep. And they have to document all of their costs. So if, like this year where we didn't get as much snow and they didn't have as much grooming costs and stuff like that, they only get that much. They don't get what was originally allocated towards their group.
Motion.
Oh, there's no motion. That's just an update.
Herbie?
That's just an update.
Okay.
Kind of like, hey, what am I doing? All right. Any other questions?
Any more questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ms. Fitzpatrick, for the these go really well, don't they?
Yeah. Put a chain on them.
Thank you.
Jack, do you have something?
Nope.
Kelly, do you want to bring up?
Yes.
I sent out an email to all legislators yesterday, I believe it was, for us to support Congressman Langworthy's Energy Choice Act. And that has been put together in a resolution form by Rochelle. Basically, it would be to try to get states that are not on board with allowing individuals to choose the form of energy they use in their houses and their new builds, and would like to pass that through this committee so that we can get that on the main legislative meeting to pass as a memorializing resolution.
I'll make a motion for that.
Yes, Joe.
Can I speak up?
Yes, sir.
I guess my concern is I got burnt once back in June when on the same morning we brought up the resolution to agree to allow ICE working with our sheriff's department. I voted for it. I had a lot of regrets after the fact. I really regret voting for it. Wouldn't have made a difference. Instead of 15-1, it would have been 14-2. But I guess my concern is I don't like putting things up the morning, brand new, something like this that I want to take a look at, because I see some things already that I have some concerns about in this. And I just think, you know, if we're going to do resolutions, if we're going to do stuff like this, let's get it out and give us some time to think about it and look at it. I don't want to do this in the, you know, we got it last night and, I haven't had a real, you know, the little time I have had to look at it, there's some things I'm very much against in this resolution.
This just gets it to the main meeting, and you certainly, so you have all month to take a look at it. And I do apologize, but sometimes I feel like some of the things, since we have to go through committee and then get it to the main floor, you certainly have time to tweak it and change it, but it needs to go through committee.
And I'm not blaming anybody for the last resolution. That was my fault. And I think I should have spoke up and just said, let's hold off on this.
And that one's different. That was an MOA that we signed. This is a memorial.
Well, this is going to be, though, if we agree with it, and then we agree with it at our legislative meeting at the end of the month, it's going to be posted.
It's just a memorial.
That's my concern, you know, and. So anyways, I'm just asking if we could just postpone any vote on this for a while.
I'm comfortable with voting on it right now.
I didn't hear what you said, Paul.
Are you comfortable with voting on it right now, Elder, or not?
I'm okay with voting on it now because it goes to the
main meeting. This doesn't, nothing happens to it until after the main meeting.
So motion?
I'll move it.
I think I seconded it.
Second?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
already. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Still carries.
Is that it, Kelly?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Outside agencies, Finger Lakes Tourism Alliance. Megan.
Perfect. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Good.
Excellent. Thank you for the time this morning. My name is Megan Nalty. I'm the president and CEO of the Finger Lakes Tourism Alliance. I think everyone in the room is a familiar face now, so pleasure to be here again. I know you received everything ahead of time that I sent on, so I'm going to try to keep my comments up here pretty brief because I do want to leave time for questions if anyone has questions. But just kind of an outlook, an update where we've been, what's happening with the Finger Lakes Tourism Alliance. So it is just officially this week, 2.5 years I've been in this role. And I'm extremely pleased to say that the building process is now complete and now we get to actually do some marketing, which is great and fun and exciting. I talked last year that one of the things that I wanted to do when I came on board was really develop a consumer brand to market the entire Finger Lakes region under. Finger Lakes Tourism Alliance is very corporate-y. That's our business name. That's who we are. That's how we operate as. But I felt very strongly that that didn't appeal to the consumer. And as you guys know, we are kind of the first line of defense to announce the Finger Lakes region to the consumers, to the visitors. And then the rest of my colleagues you'll hear from today continue to dial it down further and further right here to Stu Ben. So we needed something that really spoke to the consumers, that would entice visitation to the region. Last year when I was here, I announced the new brand Explore Finger Lakes, which we're really pleased at. And then we've spent the last year kind of really solidifying that, putting all of our printed material underneath that brand. So I do have our travel guide, our roadmap, and then this year we printed a state parks map, which are all branded under the new brand. I have copies if people would like them. I didn't want to come up here and start forcing stuff into your hands, but I have them if you want them. So just really exciting. It was 24 into 25. The beginning of 25 was when we launched the roadmap, which was our last piece that we had to convert to the new format, the new brand. So that came out in May. So really exciting. And so since then, we've been doing a lot of outreach. We do some big campaigns that promote visitation to the region. We've launched a campaign in January of this year in the greater DC market. That market has been gaining traction for us, but it's been a market we have not been able to really focus on. It's very expensive to market in that region, but they have income. They like to travel, and they like to spend the money that they, when they travel. So it was a market that we really wanted to focus on. We've been promoting down there for not almost 9 months now. Pleased to say that's been going really, really well. We're starting to see traction. We're getting a huge increase in visitation to our website, use of our mobile app, requests for travel guide, and additions to our email list from people in that greater DC market. So our plan for 26 is to continue that campaign, but really dial in. We've been doing a lot of A/B testing this year, figuring out what exactly about the Finger Lakes interests the consumer in the DC market, kind of doing some research based on that. And then the plan for 26 is to dial in on what it is they're interested in and really help drive bookings. So looking forward to continuing that plan. We are in the process right now as FLTA of doing a destination management plan, strategic planning, new buzzwords, and looking at what we want to do to continue to promote the region and this area as a destination moving forward. We're including as part of that plan something pretty exciting. It's going to be a digital booking review. So how easy is it for a consumer to actually book a trip to the Finger Lakes once they've made the decision that they want to come here? So doing a review across our attractions, our overnight accommodations, like, are you ready in this day and age to accept digital bookings? Can you make it easy to plan an entire trip for a consumer? So that'll be a really exciting thing that we're looking to launch in 26. I mentioned the mobile app and the mapping system, which has been great. The mobile app numbers have gone through the roof this summer. It is Explore Finger Lakes on both platforms. If you have not downloaded it, I encourage you to. We'll continue doing our printed pieces. And then something really exciting that we did this year, we have launched a mobile visitor center. So if you were at the Steuben County Dairy Parade, you may have seen it drive through. We entered it in that. So we have taken a Ford Transit van and wrapped it with the Explore Finger Lakes logos. And we are taking it out throughout the entire 14 counties. We've been to date to about 32 events this summer, and just continuing to promote the region, everything there is to do in region to encourage visitation across all of the county lines. So we will continue to do that into next year. And then the last update, which is not very exciting, but I think we all know what's happening in the federal government right now. We are not yet a National Heritage Area. I really hope one of these days I'm going to come here and say that we are a National Heritage Area. That bill is not dead. It has been reintroduced this year, has bipartisan support from both Gillibrand and Tenney and all of our Finger Lakes representatives. However, I have been told not to hold my breath on it getting passed this year, but hopefully very, very soon that will happen. As you know, that is a designation that we've been working on for many, many years, and excited to hopefully finally bring it over the finish line. So that's just kind of a brief overview of everything we've been doing, kind of what our plans are for 26. Obviously, we really appreciate the support that we receive each year from Steuben County. I put in the budget request, we are not seeking any sort of an increase this year. So we are looking to do the same allocation that we received in 25 to continue to support. And just some information on what we actually day-to-day do with that money that applies to this county. We work with Kevin and his team. So you were featured on the back cover of the travel guide this year with your full page ad. You have a block ad in our roadmap. We print 100,000 travel guides that get sent out, 50,000 roadmaps that go out. And then we also did a really big digital package. As you recall, last year, we just launched the brand new website right before I was at this meeting last year. So we've got some robust digital work that we've done. So far to date this year, we've received two internal banner ads, three homepage banner ads, two partner highlights where you actually take over an entire block on the homepage, four featured articles, and four featured events. And those are all for 1 month. So we continue to work with Kevin and his team to promote that and push that forward. I will stop talking now and see if anyone has questions.
Got a roll. Questions? Hilda?
So,
James?
The question is going to be, I didn't see anywhere in here that you were asking for any money.
Yeah, it was right on the first page.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. In the
first page.
Go back and look.
Okay, perfect.
But I think I mentioned, maybe I mentioned this last year. I wasn't happy with the Explore Finger Lakes because it was ours.
Explore Steuben. Yep.
And I'm okay with it now. I see you've done a lot and it's been progressive.
Thanks.
Do you know any reason why the designation is stalled?
So right now, designation and fundings for all NHAs are still on hold.
All, not
yes.
Just us.
Not just us, and no new NHAs have been designated. And last I heard from Gillibrand's office, the funding is still up in the air for current NHAs. So the thought process that Gillibrand's office has is that there's not going to be a push to make new ones when they're not currently interested in funding the ones that are already designated. So I think it just so happened that it was a election year, obviously politics changing, things happen. It's always kind of in turmoil for a little bit when a change of power happens, which just happened to be the year that we were trying to get designation. So again, Gillibrand and Tenney are both committed to continuing to introduce the bill every year. It has been reintroduced this year. It is in committee. They just don't anticipate movement on it until some bigger things in federal parks get taken care of. But yeah, both still committed to it. So hopefully we're going to drive this over the finish line.
James?
I had a question about pretty big milestone for America 250 next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are the plans that are going to be happening that you're aware of already for?
Yeah, so we've been working with partners at I Love New York to really kind of focus in on some 250 things. So specifically out of our office, we're not necessarily event planners or doing things like that. So we're gathering everything that all of our counties are doing. So all of our partners are doing, and then we'll be pushing that out. So we've already started some campaigns, like the DC campaign has started to include some ads about Celebrate America 250 in New York, different things like that. So we'll start including in our advertising some focus on the fact that New York State is a hotbed for, you know, the original formation of the Americas, and that you should come here and celebrate and plan your trip here as you're exploring your 250 destinations.
That's good.
Thank you. Yep.
Any further questions? Well, thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure to spend time with you. Thanks.
Oh.
Finger Lakes Wine Country.
Here I am.
Here you are.
Here I am. And I am going to give you some. So, not too much. It's just a single page. Just a single page.
Good, how are you?
I got you. Okay.
Thank you.
So, There you go, sir. How are you?
Great.
This way, and then you can pass down. Thanks. Okay. All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good
Morning.
morning. And of course, you go from Megan to Lori. So I got to do this, and then Kevin will be the happy medium, right? So yes. Good morning. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you. We cannot thank you enough for Steuben County's support of Finger Lakes Wine Country. Without what your support, without what you assist us with, we wouldn't have the tourism, nor would we have the economic vitality that we have in Steuben County. So it what you do is so much bigger than you think, and you are genuinely appreciated. So why does Finger Lakes Wine Country matter? So what you've got, and we talked about this a second ago, Megan did. So you've got the 14 counties, you've got Finger Lakes Wine Country, which is 5 counties, and then you've got Kevin's team, which focuses specifically on Steuben County. And so visitors don't plan trips by county lines. We wish they would say, hey, we're going to Steuben County. No, that's not how they travel. Our scope matches how travelers actually explore. And we focus a lot on our rural nature of our 5 counties. So there's a little bit of the difference between the organizations. We serve on each other's boards. We are constantly working together to make sure that the messages of this region are strong and positive. So the more targeted approach with the 5 counties helps people say, okay, I'm going to go to the Southern Finger Lakes. And so we keep them within Steuben County. In many cases, they stay within Steuben County. So the attractions receive strong, relevant exposure. So the results and impact for 2024, you asked me for last year, this year, and what I'm looking ahead for. We invested $776,000. That's how much our budget was, right? 85% of our budget went directly into marketing. We got 22.9 million impressions. That's a 17% increase, 166,000 clicks, a 7% increase. And engagement is well above industry averages because we are very targeted about who we hit. We are reaching people who are interested in information about visiting our region. So far in 2025, our paid and digital media efforts are outperforming benchmarks. So the click-through rate for visitors that come from any of our promotions is 12.9%. Industry average is 3%. So we're getting to the right people with the right messages. We have incredibly strong growth on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Our email and search remain standout channels with engagement nearly double industry averages. Again, we're not just throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing what sticks. We are very, very targeted, and so the message is resonating. These results prove that the marketing engine, the earned, owned, and paid media that we focus on, is working and directly fueling visitation. So in 2026, we are requesting the same amount that we have received for the last several years, $105,000 from Steuben County. That integrated plan, so as I mentioned, paid, earned, and owned media, and you've seen, you all received my annual report. I sent each of you one in the mail, and I've got two here if for some reason you did not get it, and happy to mail others if you need them. But in that annual report, you'll always see this chart, which is our paid, owned, and earned media chart. So paid media are the advertising that we pay for, paid search, video advertising Our owned media is what we tell the stories on, our website, our blogs, social media, email marketing. Then at the bottom, you've got earned media. That's media coverage. That's reviews. That's word of mouth. And what we look for is that intersection of that Venn diagram right in the middle, so that we're telling the story through all three modes of marketing communication. So that information is in your website. So in paid media for 2026, we're hoping for seasonal campaigns across all of our digital platforms. Our goal is 21 million plus impressions. So we're going to shoot for 21 million, and I'm going to meet it or beat it. I can almost promise you that. Uh-huh. Our earned media, we're going to have influencers and journalists visit, and that's going to drive national exposure. Our budget is tight, and we have writers asking us all the time, can we come? Can we do features? Can we do stories? But there's money involved with that. That's putting them up in hotels. That's their transportation. That is their food. And we have to be very, very particular so that we do not overspend. Now, our owned media, we have, it's like, we're all in the same boat, right? Upgraded websites, we're doing strategic planning. Everybody's on sort of that rotation. But we launched our brand new website on December 30th. I said, by hook or by crook, we are launching this thing in 2024. And we did. It was December 30th, 2024. And I had everybody working. But building that up. And if you haven't been to the Finger Lakes Wine Country website recently, it really has changed. And on that homepage, we talk about our communities. So there's a map, because what we realized with research, people don't realize where we are. Literally, some people thought we were in New Hampshire. I can't make this up, right? So we need to help educate. So on our homepage, Steuben County is front and center. It is the first community that you go to. We call our counties communities. It just sounds warmer, right? So we're continuing to update our website. We are segmenting our email campaigns a little bit more, and we're having new storytelling assets. Video is king. Everything that we're doing is including video, and that tells a very clear story about our region. We're going to expand brand visibility in our drive markets. We're going to try to continue to support year-round visitation, especially midweek and off-season. We're going to showcase our authentic stories. We have a campaign that we've been doing now for two years called Faces of Finger Lakes Wine Country, where people can get to know individuals who live here and why they live here and maybe why they relocated to be here. And then we're going to drive economic growth across all five of our counties, including Steuben. So we're going to continuing our funding, help us maintain visibility, reach, and frequency. Without that reach and frequency, the messages get lost. Every dollar that we possibly can goes into marketing. There's just two of us, just me and Christina. And we work with people who know what they're doing in terms of media buying, storytelling. I've even got a contract bookkeeper, right? And we've got 25 years behind us. We were formed in 2020 with a lot of help from this county. And we look forward to at least 25 more strong years ahead. So that's my request. I am hoping that you find that what Finger Lakes Wine Country does is beneficial to Steuben County.
Any questions? Scott?
Looking at your financials, like last year off your annual report, public funders is $325,000. I assume that's the five counties.
Yes.
But the private funders is $448,000. What is it? Who are they?
The private funders include Corning, and we receive $300,000 from Corning Incorporated.
for they believe in the messaging. And then we have wineries. We've got Vice Vineyards. We've got Heron Hill. We also have the Watkins Glen Harbor Hotel. We've got Finger Lakes Premier Properties. We've got, I'm trying to think, you know, we've got a lot of hotel, the Corning Museum of Glass, of course, the Rockwell Museum.
Okay.
And so even though our name, and I've said this each year, you know, Finger Lakes Wine Country, Finger Lakes is the geographic distinction. The wine is just that sexy hook. The country is the entire story that gets people on the lake, gets people into our small towns, gets people to our farmers markets, enjoying everything that this rural Mecca has to offer. Does that answer your question? Thanks, Scott. Yes, Hilda.
Lost track. Where are you located now?
We are remote.
So you are?
Yes. Yes, we were in the Baron Steuben building for years. And we are not consumer facing. We don't have like a, you know, a visitor center or anything like that. We are really targeting that communication. So it was not worth it, you know? So that money went back into advertising. Thanks, Hilda. One other point I want to bring up, and my friends might bring it up, in what I just handed you, the bigger picture, the middle paragraph where it says the bigger picture beyond click-throughs. I want y'all to realize that AI has really changed how we do business. Now, if a consumer is searching for trip to the Finger Lakes, what's going on in Corning, whatever, AI gives that answer first, gives an overview, right? You're nodding. Yep. It gives that overview. And in many cases, are you going to be talking about this too? Or should I just? Okay. All right. In many cases, good or bad, love it or hate it, AI is answering the questions before anybody ever gets to a website. So where we in the past have used number of website visits and time on site and number of pages visited, you can kiss that goodbye. It's not going to be valid anymore. Now, what you'll find, and I encourage you to do this because it'll help you understand how a consumer plans a trip, right? Just go home. In your leisure time, go to your computer, Google, you know, visiting the Finger Lakes or visiting Steuben County, things to do in Bath, New York, whatever you want to say. AI is going to give you that answer where before all of our websites showed up. Now it gives you the answer, but in about what I did a little rough calculation, about 65 to 70 percent of the time we do a search, it references my website. As per Finger Lakes Wine Country, especially if it's within one of our five counties. So I encourage you to do it. It's a very, very interesting, everything changes every year. We have to be on our toes to be able to communicate with the people we want to get here. So that's what we're doing. We're staying on our toes. Your support is very much appreciated in helping me do that.
Thank you for coming. Thank you. Spores to Ben. Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning. Morning, Kevin.
I got to get up and do some stretches or something. So, well, thank you, first of all, for the opportunity to present our budget for 26. It has been a challenging year. I'll be honest with you. Starting out, it was a little slow. We dropped a lot in international visitation. We lost probably about 50%, some places up to 62%. So we had to regather and gather the team and also talk to our regional friends and our state partners and address the situation and how do we pivot. So we threw away our 25 strategy and we redesigned how we approached everything this year. And I am happy to say we weathered the storm as far as that's concerned. And so far year to date, we are up. We were beating a record-breaking year again. So I just got to give quick kudos to the team and, you know, some of our organizations that we work with in the state for their quick response and how they adjusted to that. But Explore Steuben, you know, we're here, we're requesting a 5% increase in the room tax allocation, which brings us to 945, from 900 last year. It reflects really the rising cost of operations. And I think they mentioned it, you know, the cost of marketing continues to go up. The health insurance goes up. The operations costs go up. Our rent goes up. Just everything keeps going up. So to keep our momentum, you know, we're committed to sustaining through our strategic community-centered investment. We did do some shifts, and I'll get into that in a minute. Our requests, I do a lot of research, basically from short-term rental, Zartico, tourism economics, and the Smith Travel Research Report. And that's how I make my decisions and, you know, my requests based on those trends and where take out the crystal ball and try to figure out where things are going. We remain centered on one core mission. It's to stimulate the tourism economy through authentic storytelling, destination development, and visitor connection. And we do this with our vision, which is to position Steuben as a must-visit destination in the Northeast and to lead it with purpose in how we promote and manage that growth. Tourism, I will say, you know, I've been doing a lot of meetings lately across the state, and it just keeps coming up that, you know, I personally feel like I've been looking at tourism wrong for a long time. I feel like if it's done, economic development is done right, tourism becomes a byproduct of that. So it's really community centered, and it's more than travel. It is economic development in action. And we have some great examples right here. So in 2024, we invested, you as in Steuben County, invested a little over $1.1 million in tourism marketing. That was with Steuben County CVB, Wine Country, and FLTA. And I'm also happy to report that investment helped drive $208 million visitor economy here. You know that's a big impact, but it goes deeper than that. Destination marketing does more than attract visitors. It also creates first impressions. And, you know, it sparks curiosity. It builds emotional connections. It leads to something more permanent that we see in our office all the time. And I wish I had the opportunity to be able to share a lot of those stories with you because it's really interesting. But people may come here for a weekend, hike, or wine tasting, but many return to start a business, raise families, build a life. When we market Steuben, we're not just promoting a place. We're planting the seeds for long-term community growth. In 2024, our county led the 14-county region in 10.6% growth in visitor spending. We had the most growth out of our 14 counties. This spending generated over $13 million in local tax revenue, supported more than 3,100 jobs, and contributed $82 million in wages into our local economy. Explore Steuben, our office, directly supports more than 400 tourism-related businesses, and we do this with services such as promotional exposure, cooperative advertising opportunities, promotion through our travel guides, website app listings. We do media tours, curated itineraries, digital kiosks, welcome services, hospitality training. We also do visitor sentiment analysis, lodging performance, and economic impact tracking. And these aren't just marketing tactics. They're growth tools to help our local businesses succeed and help visitors come back. In 2024 and 25 accommodations performance, last year, we sold a little over about 325,000 rooms in our traditional hotels, $35.5 million in revenue, and $15.6 million in vacation revenue. In 25, we're off to an even stronger start through the end of July. So far, room nights and occupancy is up 6.7%. hotel revenue is up 8.2%, and short-term rental or revenue is up 13.1%. These numbers obviously reflect a continued healthy growing visitor economy and the ongoing value of strategic tourism investments. This past year, we did complete the Steuben 2035 Destination Management Plan. It was a bold community-driven roadmap outlining the next decade of tourism development for Steuben County. It includes strategic priorities across placemaking and beautification, outdoor recreation and trail systems, agritourism and culinary tourism, workforce and hospitality training, winter tourism expansion, and transportation and connectivity. We just talked about transportation, how much of a hot topic that is. Everybody's talking about it. The CVB is not only prepared but positioned to lead implementation and partnership with other sectors, ensuring long-term returns for both visitors and residents. This is not just a CVB project, and we're building great partnerships and relations with all of the organizations that operate within our county and neighboring our county as well. So looking ahead to 26, we anticipate visitors to again surpass $200 million, despite a reduction in international tourism. Lodging demand will grow another 4-6%, and enhanced experiences drive longer stays and broader exploration. When expanding campaigns and Steuben 2035 implementation come together, we're confident in delivering even greater results next year. Tourism does remain one of Steuben County's most powerful economic engines. And Explore Steuben is proud to lead this work, and with your continued support, we'll continue to convert room tax investment into real results, which are jobs, revenue, and vibrant communities, and a stronger, more connected Steuben County. I will say, you know, there's a lot of good numbers. I've seen some good reports this year. However, it's not the same across every community. So we've got to work at that. And that's something we're going to continue to work at. 62% is in Corning. That's most of the business right now. We're looking for ways to spread that around. The kiosks have been an initial point to change that a little bit. Where they're discovering other things to do in other communities and getting them to move around. We also did heavy investment this year in photography and videography to build a stronger, more representative way to showcase all of our attractions in our communities. And we have photographers and videographers that are going around all year throughout all seasons to capture those images to update across our platforms, our regional platforms. It'll be shared with regional, and it'll be shared with I Love New York as well. So there's a lot of great progress going on, but there's some challenges I just want to bring up and be transparent about that I think we still need to work through. You know, Hammond Sport has had some trouble. And I'm, you know, concerned about the Glenn Curtis Museum and the Boating Museum. And we've been working diligently with them in adjusting their tactics in marketing and giving and sharing with them all the data that we have, which they could not afford on their own. And I will say recently they've had a little bit of turnaround. So, you know, there's some good news happening there, but it's really the way the people are traveling right now. The economic climate has impacted their spending. So they still need to do a vacation. They want to get away, but they're spending differently. They need a place to stay and they need a place to eat. Those are their primary spend categories. Attractions are suffering a little bit, and some of the other spend experiences are suffering a little bit. And we're seeing the traffic patterns mostly going to state parks or doing outdoor hiking. It's really the free experiences that they're really looking at for right now. So we're working right now to work with our local attractions and organizations to figure out how they can also be there make sure that the visitor is aware of their product when they're doing those other experiences to hopefully get that, capture that spend. So that's what I have on my, my updates. You know, again, thank you for your time and consideration on that. I do welcome your questions on that and deeply appreciate your ongoing partnership.
Questions? Hilda.
Kevin, tell us what you think the effect from the Canada issues, the Canadians not coming here. What's the effect that's been?
I mean, we're seeing, like I said, we're seeing about a 50, 40, about 45 to 50% decrease in international visitors. And that's not just from our reports. It's also having conversations with our attractions as well.
They told us that when we toured CMOG a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm. And it's still
that's
very
been a huge change.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
It's a neighboring county. It's not ours, but in 2026, do you see a negative impact with the way they've changed the NASCAR race at Watkins Glen to May from August? So we must get a lot of, associated spend and visitation with the people that come there.
The entire region gets a lot of positive impact from that. So it's going to shift strategically how we approach that. So we plan on, you know, we're working obviously with our regional organizations, but we plan on meeting with Watkins Glen International. And we also talk regularly with Watkins Glen Tourism Office on strategies, how we can hopefully at least be very transparent and clear in our communications to try to capture as much of that as possible and try to figure out a strategy to fill that void.
Yeah, I think that the impact of that is going to be huge.
It's Mother's Day weekend.
No, bring your mother.
Bring mom to NASCAR.
Bring mom to the NASCAR race.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's a joy.
So it's really communication and just shifting all, you know, the strategies a little bit.
Nick, do you have a question, sir?
You mentioned the kiosks. How's the one in Bath doing?
The Bath one, I will admit, was very slow in getting operational because it was up and running. The time lock on the building wasn't open. We did work with Mark. We got that figured out. And we also got approved to put a sign outside. And we created a design for him to print. And I believe he was getting a holder. Last I knew, he was getting that set up. So what it was the... very slow this year getting it up and running. And it was visible.
I've tried them a ton of times and the door's always locked.
What is it still like recently?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
I need to follow up with Mark then. And I don't know where he's at on that development project either. Because
I believe probably waiting for the New York Forest.
Where is it located, Nick? Yeah.
It's in the former bank building, which is supposed to be the new home of Tubtown Brewery. So it basically sits in the block vestibule on Liberty Street.
Okay.
Behind the lovely blue paint job.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be nice.
Yeah, I'll follow up on that. Because
thank you.
Because that was one of the other things too, is we wanted to make sure that was the time lock was fixed. And then also there's a sign out front so people can actually drive by in the street to see where it's at. We're also going to be identifying all the kiosks within our system as well and their locations. And we're also creating visitor maps, printed ones for Bath and Hornell to add to the Cuca Lake, Hammond Sport and Corning collection. They've been hugely popular. People, they love print still. And that'll also identify all those locations as well.
Hilda.
So this isn't a question, but I know some of you or maybe all of you have seen the programs that are coming out of Kevin's organization. Creative, very creative people putting these together. And they're really amazing to show what our area had store. Continue to do it. It's been great. I appreciate it because I know you have a small team, but very creative. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Anything further? You all set, Kevin?
I've got one other thing. Transition to the next next piece. So really the only thing I have on the next piece was the Destination Development Grants Program. Just wanted to ask you to consider refunding that. We had a $13,000 carryover. So we just were looking for the $87,000 to bring it back to $100,000. One of the things that I was going to mention is we were going to do some adjustments to that grant program. And really one of the key ones was events. I'm being a little clear on that, to do less investment into temporary. And if there's something for events, then it would have to be some like a permanent infrastructure. But really the outlines would be supporting the destination management plan, some of those highlights, because we did review all of the existing plans within the county and brought up elements that we thought were aligned with would help both residents and visitors, because we really wanted to do that community-centric development where visitors can experience that. So we're going to redefine that, but I wanted to, you know, really to consider bringing that back up to 100,000, because I do think we have a lot of lot of interest in that still. And then I think we've gotten the clarity, hopefully, at this point for the nonprofit statuses and who can apply. And then, of course, a little bit more of a aggressive communication effort to get that out this year.
Make a motion.
I'll move it.
So you could do this off budget, or you could do it as part of the budget process if you want.
Mm. Budget process.
Yeah. It's really not. Oh, whatever. I guess it doesn't matter either way, does it?
I don't think so.
Doesn't it have an effect?
No, I have it on the spreadsheet for agency requests. But if you want to do it now, it would just be a mid-year appropriation.
I think let's wait for the budget process.
I'm okay with waiting for a budget.
Okay.
You okay? Kevin, when does it starts, what, the applications go out in October?
We had it set before for October 15th is when we were starting that. Yeah.
And then when would you award?
We reviewed all those, rewarded them, like it was about the mid-December, I think, last year.
Okay.
We ended up going.
So the option would be, if you did it in the budget process, then the award would be like January?
Yeah.
Or you could
Know ahead of time in December if they got it, but they wouldn't get the money until January, right?
Correct.
Because they would want to know that before before the beginning of the year.
Or you could do it as a mid-year appropriation.
We can adjust it to whatever.
I'm fine with it either way. The funding isn't in our budget. It comes from occupancy tax.
Right.
So
right, even if you include it in your budget, it's offset by revenue.
Right.
Okay.
So it doesn't
have if you do it either
so
way.
If you want to, I guess, ensure so that when CVB is developing this, then I guess my recommendation would be to do it now as a mid-year appropriation. That way, if you want to award it in November, December, you have the option to do that.
And then we wouldn't do the, or you would do the 100,000 in next year's budget as well, but it would be for
Yeah.
Well, we would be doing this now for technically the 26 grants.
Right.
Next year, we would be doing it for 27.
Correct.
We're just a little ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. So motion.
Sorry.
Motion.
There would be motion.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries. You got it, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate
Thank you.
I think there's one other thing that you have to pass. It's really just a formality to have for us to apply for New York State matching funds. We have to have a letter stating that we're the official tourism agency for Steuben County. And the resolution to accompany that.
I'll move it.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
Well, thank you. Just to
wrap it up.
Appreciate it.
What we got? Oh.
No. I mean,
yeah.
Sit up for me.
Mike, can I have a real quick question?
Yeah, Joe.
Jack, what happened to that video? We voted to have that video done by one of the Quaid.
Yeah,
actually, about a year ago. I mean, where is that?
Strange enough, I just got the updated cuts. Should be the final final edits. Taken a little bit longer. I sent it to the chair. We got some initial that was like 2 months ago, and we had some edits.
And what will we be using that for? I mean, where are we going to make
use be of sharing that? It with all of our partners for them to be able to use it, be sharing it with Corning Inc. said they'd promote it as well. Certainly we'd do a media push on our side.
Good enough.
So you should be seeing more literally. Yeah. At 10:02, I got the email of the latest ones that I was waiting on. So should be wrapping up soon.
Good morning.
Good morning. And thank you for having me, and it's a pleasure to follow after our partners in tourism. Kevin hit it right on the head. Tourism is a very important economic development driver for the community, and the work that we try to do in infrastructure and community development, you know, we hope goes to a long way to support the efforts that are being undertaken by our tourism partners. Just a handful of updates, real quick, because I know we're running long. been spending a lot of time recently dealing with the federal government, as we all have. You heard some of that with some of the updates on the tourism side. The grant that we received for the Alstom Norfolk Southern hybrid freight locomotive project has been taking up a lot of our time. When we originally got that grant, we were told that we didn't need to do Buy America waivers. When the election happened and the new administration came in, we learned that we did need to do Buy America waivers. And then the tariff implications really started to impact the budget process. So I need to give a shout out to Alstom and Norfolk Southern. They've done a wonderful job over the past several months of re-engineering and taking a look at every component of that engine and that project. And they've actually reduced the offshore spend from 60% down to 8%. And on Friday, we submitted what ended up being three final waiver requests for Buy America technology. I think it was an alternator, a control system, and a motor, a traction motor. That the technology just doesn't exist in the United States. And to do the original prototype work that they want to do, they're going to need to get those three components, from their partners in Europe. But part of the waiver process that we were able to submit, they actually have plans to onshore that technology once the prototypes become commercialized and they start selling these products. So we've met with Congressman Langworthy's office and the FRA and attorneys from the administration, and we've reviewed all this. So we're hopeful that project is going to be moving forward and back on track after the re-engineer that they were able to do and really going out to their supply chain and reducing that offshore spend and onshoring a lot of the work that they're going to be undertaking as part of that. We've got a call with the FRA this afternoon. Hopefully we can get an update on the timeline for when those waivers will get approved, which is really now the next key towards being able to advance that project at the Kenona facility and start work on those efforts in earnest. I see Mayor Buckley is here. We've also been spending a lot of time in Hornell recently, partnering with the city and the village of North Hornell and town of Hornellsville on an almost $17 million infrastructure upgrade of their wastewater system, which basically runs from the city all the way to HP Hood. It's a system that is very aged. It was put in, Mayor, 50 years ago, 40 years ago. About 50 years ago, there are certain agreements in place that are dated 1979. I keep reminding people that I was only 8 years old then, so nothing to do with them. But we're working through a lot of history, a lot of aged infrastructure, and the sticker shock of upgrading that entire system back to the standard that it needs to be to deliver service to all of the municipalities. We were able to get a Pro Housing Supply Fund application put in the end of July through the consolidated funding application process. We're working on an EFC application right now. That deadline is next week, September 11th. We hope that by this time next week, we will have all of the intermunicipal agreements and bond resolutions in place from the town and in the village, and we'll be able to move that application forward. And then we can take a little bit of a breath and start moving on to, to developing a more formalized funding plan and strategy. So a lot of effort that's been going into it from a number of parties, including the city. So, I want to give a shout out to everyone that's worked on that. Moving back on the other end of the county, the Park Grove project, which the county received $1 million for infrastructure work. They're working through the town site plan review process. They just submitted their DEC wetlands approval. There's a little bit of question over the DEC wetlands because of the new regulations, but they're confident that we'll be able to work through that. And because of some of these delays that they've experienced with that, it doesn't look like the kickoff for that is going to be until next spring when they really start construction, but it's full speed ahead. I think the number of units has dropped slightly from 100 down to about 90, but still a great project that we look forward to breaking ground on when the weather breaks in the spring. Similar project. We'll move back to the middle of the county, the Curtis School project. This is something I, you know, our files date back on this since, you know, I started almost 15 years ago. We've been working on the redevelopment of that. We have all the funding lined up to move that forward. There's some architectural work that's being undertaken right now, as well as what is what they call the part two application for historic preservation tax credits. The hope is that this fall they can start working on the redevelopment of that and at least get a roof on and start the abatement process this fall and then start work in earnest in the winter. Again, another great housing project to support, you know, one of our main communities being Hammondsport. Sticking in Hammondsport, not great news, but at least a direction. Many of you may have heard that last week, the Pleasant Valley Wine Company went up for sale. Unfortunately, Mike Doyle's health has been declining, and the family has decided to place that asset on the market. It is being listed by Pyramid Brokerage for $4.9 million, which sounds like a lot. But if you think about what you get and the brands that you get with it, because it comes with not only the physical winery, but all of the brands, $4.9 million is really a bargain. So we've been working with the family. We've been working with the brokerage community to identify investors. And, you know, we're hoping that we can advance the sale of that and see that facility continuing to operate. You know, even though it is cheap, there's significant revenue that needs to be put back into it. So we're trying to stay very, very close to that. Prattsburg, we thought we had all of the funding lined up for Prattsburg's downtown sewer project, which is a similar project to what was just undertaken in Hammondsport. And then the Economic Development Administration, EDA, federal government came back and said, oh, no, we don't think that money that you had we had committed to you is going to be there anymore. So we want you to reapply. And if you reapply, we think we'll give you that money back, but you need to go through that process. So we are going through that process again. You know, we're going to stay very close with the village, the town of Prattsburg and the funding agencies. And hopefully, you know, once we get this next application in, which is imminent, that funding will be resurrected and we can move that forward because we literally had everything lined up. They were getting ready to go out to bid. They were getting ready they actually passed a resolution that approved all of the funding plans. And then the EDA kind of pulled back and said, no, you got to reapply. That takes me real quick to the Steuben County Loan Fund. This was a fund that for many of you may recall that we approached the county about partnering with us to fund an emergency loan program during COVID. We I don't want to say jump the gun, but we were early in that decision and the fund never really took off because the federal government came in with a series of programs and funding that were just a little bit better than what we were able to provide. So we refocused that and looked at assisting businesses that were flood impacted. Again, had a little bit of a lukewarm reception to that. Didn't get a lot of traction. I think we did one loan when we did that. So we refocused it once again a year or so ago, and we created a downtown focus program, which was going to be half grant, half loan. And that was really the thing that we needed to do. That program has been hugely successful. We've been able to work with REDEC, who is the agency that is doing the loans, and we've done projects now ranging from, you know, Corning to Bath to Prattsburg to Irwin and Wayland, and we have projects stacked up in the town of Atlanta and more in Wayland and throughout the entire county. So we're impacting communities and downtowns in particular in the entire county to the point where we're actually running out of money. If we fund everything that has when you consider everything that's been funded, and if we fund everything that is in the docket, we have more requests than we have revenue. So we've asked REDEC to put together a proposal. I've looked at the first draft, which we are going to be presenting to the county, hopefully within the next 30 or 60 days, to think about refunding that in partnership with the IDA. You know, we're committed to continuing the success of that program. And just to give you a little bit of an idea about the success, you know, one program or one company in particular, AT Energy, which actually attended one of the small business roundtables, was able to utilize that program to purchase and revitalize the old Airflow building in Prattsburg. They moved manufacturing operations there because of that loan fund. And again, that's one example, but we were up there just, 2 weeks ago, Joe. And we were talking to them, and we were able to connect them with Invenergy, which is working on the Canisius Wind project. And just this morning, we got an email from AT&T Energy thanking us for that connection, because it looks like they're going to be doing business on that project. So because of the loan fund, we were able to get to revitalize a vacant building that had sat there for a long time in Prattsburg, make a connection with the business through the small business roundtable effort, and then turn around and link them with one of our major investments in the county. So again, it's a perfect example of the synergies that get created when you make these types of investments. So that's something that we'll be hopefully presenting to the county in short order, again, in partnership with the IDA to refund that very important program that has been extremely successful. And then finally, many of you may have seen a recent article where New York State Electric and Gas is making a substantial investment into a substation in the Dansville area. This is extremely important to economic development in Steuben County, because with the advent of AI, we heard the reference of AI, the project requirements for electricity are substantial now. Every project we see is 6, 8, 10, 12, 20 megawatts of power. And at this point, at the Whalen site in particular, which this substation will feed, we're limited to about 3 megawatts. And with this new investment, it will immediately increase the availability of power to 12 megawatts at that site. And we've actually had some conversations with NYSEG about how we can leverage the state's new power up money that was announced as part of the budget, and possibly look at increasing the available capacity up to possibly even 20 megawatts at that site. So because of the original investment that NYSEG is making into that substation, we're going to be able to directly take advantage of that and benefit from it at the Wayland Industrial Park that we've been working so hard to develop. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Yes.
How do you see the impact with the federal government cutting funding for the wind projects?
Every day I send a text or an email to our wind projects that are under development and say, how are we doing? And every day they come back and say, we plan on breaking ground this fall. There's really only two projects that are under development right now in Steuben County. And once we get those projects developed, if they do move forward, that will probably be it. The wind resources in the areas that we see the most wind will be fully developed. They're all rushing to get their projects built before the end of next year so they can energize them by 2027, which is the deadline that the federal government has established for the federal tax credits. However, that's not easy because, there are executive actions that have been taken to limit the approvals on some of those. So the Canisteo wind project, for example, had two federal approvals that they needed to receive. One was a federal wetlands approval, which they actually went and spent a substantial amount of money to redesign and re-engineer the project to avoid all federal wetlands. The other one is a Department of Defense approval, because apparently someplace there's a federal radar station that is a Department of Defense regulated radar station that they need to get the approval they need to get a permit from DOD. Interestingly enough, DOD was not covered in some of the original actions that the administration took. So they think they will be able to work with them to get that. The Prattsburg Wind Project is a little bit further behind. They are also re-engineering around federal wetland requirements, but they're going to need FAA permits. And they're trying to work through that. And in the meantime, they are still committed to breaking ground and doing tree clearing this year, because if they don't do the tree clearing this year, the projects will not move forward, because the tree clearing has to be done when the leaves are off the trees. So if they miss this window of opportunity, they'll never get the projects built by 2027. So the impact of that in Steuben County, that's between the two, it's about $1.6 billion in new development, new investment in the county, which will end up generating tens of millions of dollars in new tax revenue to the communities, including the county. So if they don't move forward, those developments don't happen. And that revenue is basically lost revenue.
Hilda.
So who contributes to the loan fund?
So the last time the loan fund, the contributors to the loan fund originally were the county IDA, the county, and then Corning Incorporated donated a piece. Since then, Corning has asked for their money back because they wanted it to be very targeted and very specific to basically Market Street, or, you know, blocks away from Market Street. And there was no way to effectively be able to administer and separate the two without creating two separate loan programs. So REDAC made the decision to basically turn that money back over to Corning Enterprises at the time. And that happened. That was 3 or 4 years ago, I think, when that happened. Now, I have approached Corning in their Office of Community and Investment about potentially refunding that and reconsidering that. But again, they want their focus and scope to be very limited to be Corning centric. So I'm not sure if there's a path forward that we can ask them, or they will be willing to participate, because we just geographically can't administer, you know, the fund and say, okay, this loan is coming out of this little pot of money that Corning Enterprises or Corning Investment gave, and the rest of it is countywide. So what
about the other IDAs in the county? Are they contributing?
They have not been approached or asked. So they have not. I honestly don't think the Irwin IDA is in a financial position to contribute anything. They really don't have any projects. They own the airport, the Costas Airport, and that's it. Hornell is possibly, but again, they were never originally approached.
There was a piece on today's show about the trains. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see it?
Yep.
And it talked, even mentioned Hornell, New York.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great publicity that we had last week when those trains, went operational.
So any update on LP? How are they doing? I mean, you see the inventory sitting there. It's...
Wow. A lot of that inventory has actually been shifted from the back to the front, because they're actually expanding their parking and staging area in the back because they're so busy. So if you drive by, you may see some dump trucks going in and out of there. They're actually expanding on doubling the size of their parking lot. Every time we talk to them, they continue to, you know, say that they're doing very well.
Good. So. Phillips.
Dick.
You know, I thought I was going to get out of here without that. So there was a news article last week, and I actually talked to Jeff Smith yesterday because he saw the report from WENY. DEC issued a notice last week, which was a little bit misleading, because the notice came out and it made it sound as though there was more stuff found and we're going to have to start over again. And what the notice really was they were approving a plan treatment for two very specific areas that were already known, and Phillips had submitted their action plan to take care of those areas. So there's a quadrant in the what would be almost directly behind Shirley's that was a solvent area where they stored and they let solvents evaporate back in the Westinghouse days. They've got to do some sort of thermal injection down in there. And that work is set to take place soon. And then there was some infiltration in a wetland behind our office, because there was a drainage ditch that came underneath the Route 54 that they've got to do some work on. So they're continuing to, you know, to do that work. But until that work's done, they can't get their certificate of completion, which limits the ability to redevelop the property, because they've got to get that final work done. And DEC won't allow development to occur on the property until the certificate of completion is issued. So that wasn't great news that they've still got more work to be done, it wasn't also surprising.
Is Pleasant Valley they're going to press grapes this year?
No.
They're not pressing.
That is that's going to be a huge impact.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not going to press this year. Wow. And we've had a couple of entities reach out to us about warehousing space because they were a bonded warehouse and looking for bonded warehousing space. So we've found a couple of options in, I think there's one in Naples, and then the Southern Tier Logistics, the old center at Horseheads in down in Chemung County has bonded warehouse space, you know, to keep the wines. I don't know how much of an impact the warehouse space is, but the pressing will be a huge impact.
So are they shut down?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they're basically shut down.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
I know they also did a lot of cold storage for other wineries. So it's going to be a huge impact on the wine industry having that facility shut down.
That's sad.
Any further questions for Jamie?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jill.
I better buy my champagne.
James, you want to give us a quick update on the next round table?
Sure. As of right now, we're looking at October 8th. Wednesday, October 8th, for the next roundtable to take place at Incubator Works in Painted Post. The list of businesses to be invited is still being developed, as is the rest of the logistics other than the date. But that is where it stands right now.
The tentative plan is the next one will be in Hornell in November.
I think that's the plan. Yep. And then Gorling or Wayland, wherever I like to do it after that.
So would you aid? Okay. Sorry.
Shouldn't be a meeting that day.
No.
No, we tried to plan. Or did we?
No, you got it. I just said 93.
Anything further? Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. There was a